Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
I'm Danny Marsden, reporter for the Mid-City Sentinel. Last night, about 40 miles from this town, there's one of the doggonest murders. Now, murder cases are meat and drink to me. Maybe you read what Time magazine said about me when I covered the Lisbane murders. Oh, excuse me. There's Nellie at the switchboard calling. Maybe this is my call to cover last night's case. Oh, brother. Hi, Nell. What's cooking?
The chief, Danny. He wants you, but quick.
Sure he wants me, Nell, honey. When there's murder afoot there, you'll find Danny Marsden every time.
Ah, gee, Danny, you're wonderful.
Oh, thanks, kid. Be seeing you. Here I am, chief. Now, about those murders, I've got very definite ideas where those cops are out.
Sit down, Danny. I have a real assignment for you, and it's not murder.
Well, spring it, boss. It must be big if it's bigger than murder.
I've got a letter here that was published on our editorial page last night. I want to read it to you and then give you the lowdown.
Shoot.
Dear editor, last Friday I read your editorial calling on working men to increase production. That may be very well for you to say, sitting in your ivory tower at the Mid-City Sentinel, but when I turned to the financial section of your paper, I noticed that the company I work for has increased its profits in the past 10 years... over 300%. So you see, to those who have worked hard many years of their lives and have seen many of their salary increases eaten up by a higher cost of living, your nice little editorial about producing and producing and producing just doesn't add up. How about an editorial calling on big companies to cut down on their profits and reduce prices? I dare you, signed John Smith.
Some of our editorials, Chief, with all due respect, aren't so hot. Now, about that murder.
Now, get it into your head. You're not touching the murder. You're working on a different kind of murder. The murder of our economic system by misunderstandings between employer and employee.
But look, boss, I've always had important assignments. Well, the guys will give me their razz if they know I'm out tracking down letters to the editor stuff. Have a heart.
Now, look here, Danny Marsden. When someone says the editors of the Mid-City Sentinel are sitting in an ivory tower, that's important. By heavens, I'm going to show that fellow that nobody around this paper sits in an ivory tower.
Okay, okay, Chief. But it'll ruin my reputation. Gee, when the boys around town...
Well, tell them it's murder you're covering, if you like. And the corpse is the body politic. Now, get cracking, Marsden, at once. Sitting in my ivory tower, he says.
It's swell being out with you, Danny. We've missed you around the place the last few days.
I'll have another cup of coffee now.
Thanks, I will.
I'm going to let you in on something big.
What's it about, Danny?
Hold on to your hat, Nellie. I'm in a big murder case, and you're the little girl that's going to help me out.
Me? Oh, gee, Danny, that's super.
Well, it's like this, kid. I've spent 3 days already getting the facts in this case, and now I've got to get the lowdown on a fellow called John Smith. He lives out in the suburbs. And I want you to get the information about him before I barge in. Now, this is the way to go about it. You say you represent the Oasis Z Survey Company and ask 3 questions. Here, I'll tell you. ...1802 Coulter Boulevard was an innocent-looking little house in a nice suburban district. Nell knocked on the door and a pretty-looking woman let her in. I stood and watched some 100 yards down the boulevard. It seemed like hours, but finally I heard Nell return.
Well, Danny, I did like you said. I could have talked with Mrs. Smith all night. She answered every question. Her husband was out bowling and she felt like talking. You know, I had the feeling she was worried about him.
Worried? How come?
Well, when I asked her how the cost of living affected them, like you told me to, she said it was tough, but that John felt real mad about it. He has a chip on his shoulder all the time, she said. She's afraid he's getting fed up with his job, and he's so good at it and everything.
Oh, what do you mean, and everything?
Oh, just everything. Why don't you go talk to John Smith yourself? He's at the bowling alley under Brown's store, just on the street there. He's top bowler in the league so far. And if he wins tonight, he'll get the cup. His wife can hardly wait for him to get home.
Now, give me those notes quick. I've got to get to that bowling alley right away. I'll ring you at your apartment later tonight. ¶¶ The community bowling club is doing its stuff all right, and I had no trouble spotting John Smith after reading Nell's notes. When he made a strike, his final time up, and they handed him the cup, I had him pretty well sized up. I didn't waste any time getting next to him. He invited me home to his place after the bowling.
Well, Danny, I've told you all I can about the bowling league. How about you telling me something?
Yeah, I will. I'm here because you wrote a letter to the Sentinel a few days back.
Oh, that. So what? It's hardly front page news.
Well, the editor seems to think it is.
There, you see, John, I told you that was a good letter.
It certainly worried my chief.
Worried him? How come?
We're not going to cancel our subscription, if that's it.
Oh, not exactly, Mrs. Smith. The fact is, my editor is the man who wrote the editorial you didn't like.
Oh, well, now...
just a moment. I should explain that my editor is as completely honest as a man can be. He really believes what he writes, just as you do. And he's always willing to listen to the other side of the question. That's why your letter bothered him. He's willing to admit he may have been wrong.
Well, he was wrong.
Hold on, no, not so fast. Personally, I don't take sides in this. I just go after facts. Part of my job. I'd like you, if you will, to tell me just why you think he's wrong.
That seems fair enough, John.
Well, I don't think he sees the working man's point of view.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Now, for instance, I started in the factory I work for as a floor sweeper when I was pretty young. I'll admit I've done well. I've had raises as I went along, and I worked darn hard for them. But even now, Nora here has a hard time stretching her housekeeping money, and our bank account is growing too slow to suit me.
Well, everybody's cost of living is up.
Now, that's what I'm getting at. And why doesn't your editor tell us why? I can tell you why. Because the big companies are taking too much profit. As I said in my letter, my own company has increased its profits 300% in the last 10 years. Many others are worse. I don't know, but I'll bet it's a fact.
Well, what should be done about it?
Well, don't get me wrong. I'm not a communist or anything like that. But I think we need some changes in our system to make it work for the good of us all. There's something screwy about a system where a fellow keeps getting raises, and the raises don't do any good because prices go right up with them.
Well, we're better off than we were, John. We've a lot of nice things, a fair bank account. We're better off here in Canada than workers are anywhere else in the world.
I know, Nora, but that's not my beef. Just because the workers in other countries aren't doing so well isn't good enough. We want to do well here, much better than we are. And I'm sure it could be done. But just asking the working man to produce more isn't the answer. Prices have to be kept down, and profits. The government should do something about it.
John, I'm not sure you're going to like the article I'm going to do for the paper. But I'd like to tell you what I plan to write. Part of it you like, and part of it you may not like. But you sound like a reasonable guy, and I think if I can prove that what I've written is true, you'll go for it.
Yes, I'll go for anything that's true, Marsden. I hope I'm not a crackpot anyhow.
That's true, Mr. Marsden. We get puzzled and worried and sometimes pretty mad. But we're reasonable people, we think.
Well, I spent 3 days checking up on the company you work for. I don't know why. But they gave me the run of the place and showed me everything. Now, I'll give you the reasons why I'm going to tick them off in my article, and the reasons why I'll tick you off a little. No names mentioned, naturally, okay?
Shoot, Danny, and you don't have to pull any punches.
Well, in the first place, your company is at fault because they've let you go on thinking over the many years you've worked there that they've been piling up terrific profits. Now, the facts are that 10 years ago, they'd made only 2.3% profit on sales, and today they make even less, only 2.2%. That 300% increased profit you read about in the paper got you mixed up. And here's what it amounts to. 10 years ago, their net profit was only $40,000-odd. And now it's increased to something like $200,000. During that same period, production increased, sales more than tripled, and 40 new jobs were created. Well, the whole thing is like the story of the man who increased his sales 100%. He sold one pair of shoes one day, two pairs of shoes the next. Percentages can fool you, unless you know the facts.
Chief in?
He's only been shouting for you for the last hour. And by the way, what happened to you last night?
you were going to phone me.
Oh, when I left the Smiths, it was after midnight. Say, how's about dinner tonight? Oh, you know, to make up for it. We'll celebrate.
Celebrate what?
I got a story last night that'll make the boss's eyes pop. I sent in to him this morning before I went out for breakfast.
He's on the line now, and he doesn't seem like he's exactly pop-eyed about your story. He wants to know where in the blankety-blank you are.
Tell him I'll be right in. And you call me, Chief?
Yeah, sit down. Sit down, Marsden. I liked your article, Marsden. It's dynamite. I've been trying to get you for half an hour. I had John Smith in my office.
John? Last night he was convinced that
he came in to tell me that you, Marsden, should be on our editorial staff. Says you're wasting your time covering murders. He intimated that maybe I could take your place while you took mine. He brought up some good points, though, Marsden. Claims that one of our duties should be to make our financial page more understandable to our readers. Says that most folks can't understand a financial statement, for instance. It's up to us to present them in a simpler manner. He says we should do more to explain profits. He even quoted you, Danny. He also quoted the famous labor leader, Samuel Gompers. You remember, something to the effect that any firm that fails to make a good profit is letting its employees down. He pointed out we've done too much editorializing and not enough explaining of facts. For instance, he says that you were the first person to point out to him that the average profit made by Canadian manufacturers is only 6.2 cents on the sales dollar. His company's only making 2.2 cents on the dollar. He figures that's one reason why raises haven't come as fast as he feels they should.
Oh, Smith's a good guy. Lots of sense. Now, what did you tell him?
I told him it was time he got out of his ivory tower. At the same time, I admitted we might improve. We got along pretty well, as a matter of fact.
You know, it's a funny thing, Chief. I found this job interesting, too.
Marsden, this story you've turned in is good. It should persuade management and labor that they can get together and make more money for everyone concerned. But it only scratches the surface. I want a whole series of such factual articles. And you, Danny, are elected.
Oh, look, Chief, I'm not a professor of economics.
That's exactly why you're writing this series. You're a trained newspaper man without prejudices. And your tops are digging out facts.
Boss, you're flattering me. I'm a pushover for it.
Nonsense. I'm just telling you that you're the man for the job.
Well, I'll do my best. Nellie, that dinner date tonight.
You want to cancel it.
Baby, what's the dinner? You wear your best gown, kid, because we're not only dining, we're going to see the town. I've got the boss eating out of my hands.
Gee, Danny, isn't murder a wonderful thing?